Don't raise your hand, but how many of you struggle with anger? Don't raise your hand. I think we all do in some way or another.
Can we point at somebody else?
You can point. No, don't do that. Anger is a situation that I think affects us all.
Yes.
You know, we like Brother Tommy wants to do, he wants to point at someone, but the truth is, you know, when we think of anger, we think of someone else in most cases.
Yeah.
But we have a problem with anger.
Right, Bruce. Amen.
And it's easy to see it in other people.
Yeah.
Too easy. It's hard to see it in ourselves. We're blinded to it. But anger is not a sin.
Right.
The Bible is very clear. God gets angry.
Amen.
Jesus got angry.
Yeah.
We're told in the New Testament to be angry,
yeah,
and sin not.
Right.
So anger isn't a sin, but we turn it into sin.
Yeah.
Typically, we don't get angry at sin unless it's affecting us in a bad way,
mm,
and we don't like it.
That's so true, Bruce.
And sometimes we use the cop out that we're really getting angry at their sin, and that's really not the case anyway. We're just angry because their anger or their decisions is causing us some difficulty. That's what we're angry at.
Mm.
But if we look here in Genesis chapter 4, we're going to see the first account of when anger happened. Of course, that was with Cain. We're going to read verses 3 through 5. And it says, "And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock, and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth," or angry, "and his countenance fell."
Mm.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, your word is alive. It's powerful. And Lord, we need to learn something from you tonight, especially on this subject.
Yes, Lord.
And so I pray that you would help me to say what I should. Help me to relay your message,
yes,
to your people. And Father, help us to see what it is you're wanting us to see in ourselves.
Yes.
And to make the changes that we should.
Please.
I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Cain was the first person in the Bible that showed the wrong kind of anger. But it's important, I think, that we see what made him mad. I think it's also important to see that he was trying to do things his way instead of his way.
Yeah.
In other words, his relationship with God was either non-existent or weak at best.
Mm. True.
That's why he was trying to do things his way instead of God's way. That's a good breeding ground for anger.
Mm.
When we are not trying to walk with Jesus, when we're not being diligent and on purpose trying to walk with God, it's a perfect breeding ground for anger.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was with Cain. People that don't have a healthy walk with Jesus don't have real peace or joy and find it difficult to have long suffering towards others.
Mm.
Their anger fire never really goes out. And all it takes for an explosion is just a little splash of fuel. This fuel is typically anything that stops them from getting what they want when they wanted it. Cain wanted respect. Yeah. I hear this a lot of times from husbands. She just won't respect me. But he didn't earn the respect from God. He was trying to do things his way instead of God's way. So God didn't have respect for that.
Right.
Respect is earned.
Mm. It's good.
So he got angry. Drivers on the road get angry.
Mm-hmm.
When their position in traffic is taken away from them, or their comfortable level of speed is slowed down. They also tend to get angry when other drivers refuse to drive the way they do. That stems from selfishness. It also stems from pride, because obviously if everybody would drive like me, it would be perfect on the road. That's pride. Because I think I'm doing it correctly, and
yeah,
they're not.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. Wives get angry when their husbands fail or refuse, which, by the way, both are perceived as the same thing, whether it's fail or refuse, to do what they've asked them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands, they get angry when their wives show them no respect, like Cain did when God showed him no respect. And that's typically because of the same thing that happened with Cain. We failed to earn it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Children get angry, really, at everything. And that's because of selfishness, right?
Yeah. Amen.
I didn't get my way.
Yeah.
When I wanted it. You didn't give me what I wanted.
Mm.
I was talking to Casey this morning about how children, they don't think to hide their selfishness.
No.
They just blurt out, "Give it to me."
Yeah.
You know, we, on the other hand, are smart enough to hide it.
Mm.
It's still there.
Yeah.
We're no different than the children. We just have found a way to either hide it, or maybe not hide it, but disguise it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're disguising it to the point that we don't see it.
Yeah, come on, Bruce.
Say but that. Everybody else does.
Yeah.
So let's take an inventory of the things or people that incite your anger. What is it? Who is it? Think about that for just a minute. What is it that gets you angry? By the way, if it's the news, that's a simple solution.
Amen.
Turn it off.
Amen.
Just turn it off. Well, I want to know what's going on. They're not going to tell you what's going on. They're going to tell you what they want you to think is going on.
Amen.
I honestly believe it's a tool of the devil to get us angry.
Yeah.
If you get angry watching the news, just turn it off.
Amen.
By the way, this is important for us to recognize. What you do or say when you get angry is not a mistake.
Mm.
It's the real you.
Yeah.
Jeremiah made it clear that our hearts are desperately wicked.
Mm.
Our words are only a reflection of our heart. If our words are tainted, so is our heart.
That's true.
All anger does is uncover the real you. Mm. I know that's hard for us to take. That's what the Bible says.
True, though.
So what is it? Who is it that angers you? Is it repetitive? Mm. You ever ask yourself, why does this keep happening? I'm sure you do. I was driving down the road one time, and I don't remember what it was that happened. And all I could say was, why? Why? I don't think it occurred to me at that time that God was working on me. Mm. He was working on my patience. I struggle with that. Sometimes I'm impatient.
Yeah.
Solomon says that anger resteth in the bosom of fools.
Mm.
Ecclesiastes 7:9. In other words, it's like, anger is like a small fire that's always burning inside. And because it's always there, it doesn't take much fuel to ignite it and to get it to explode. If you or I have this problem, we are a fool to not do anything about it.
Amen. That's true.
So what can we do to get our anger under control? Number one, admit that you have a problem. That's the first step.
Yes. Amen.
Admit that you have a problem.
Amen.
A heart problem.
Amen.
Not an anger problem. A heart problem. Remember, your words are only a reflection of your heart. When your words are lacking wisdom and love, it's because your heart is. Jesus said this, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. What's he saying? He's saying that your mouth ain't the problem.
Yeah. Amen.
You and I have heard the term over and over many times throughout our life. Watch your mouth.
Amen.
As though that's going to fix the problem.
Mm.
Zip it.
Yeah.
That just keeps it bottled up. That's not the problem. It's not a faucet problem. It's the well.
It's true. That's good.
Amen.
All the faucet does is pour out what's in the well. Mm-hmm. Now that we've admitted that we have a problem in our heart, not our mouth, our heart, what do we do about that? That brings us to number two. Number one is admit that we have a problem, a heart problem. It's not their fault, by the way. If he would quit doing this, I would not act like this. If she would stop that, I would not act like this. No, that's not the case.
Amen. That's true, Bruce.
So number two is, just like any other sin, we must call it what it is, sin. Then we go to God in humble repentance and ask Him for forgiveness and the necessary help to not go back to it.
Mm.
Without God's help, we don't stand a chance to have victory over our sin.
Amen.
Trying to do right, live right, without God's help is absolutely pointless.
Right.
It ain't going to happen.
That's so true.
James 3, turn there if you would. If you want to learn about how to deal with our mouth, James is a really good place to go to.
Amen.
James chapter 3, verse 5, he says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. We've experienced that before, haven't
yes.
we? Verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. You cannot tame the tongue. And that kind of sounds like bad news, but here's the good news. You can surrender your heart to the full control of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We can't fix this problem. We can't fix this problem in and of ourselves. But the Holy Spirit can.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
But that requires a little bit of work on our part.
Amen.
And that is this. Dying to self.
Amen.
You know, Paul said, I die daily.
Yeah.
That basically means saying no to yourself. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to say anything right now. I'm not going to look at that. I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to go there. It's saying no to yourself. When we yield ourselves to the Spirit and say no to our flesh, then He will produce in you a new well of living water. Then that faucet can run all day long and never spew out anything that's bad.
Amen.
Look in verse 10 of James 3. Out of the mouth, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? What's he saying?
Mm.
He's saying the problem is really not your tongue.
Mm.
It's the well.
Yeah.
If you're having a repetitive problem of getting angry at that thing, those people, or whoever it is, or whatever it is, you have to get the biblical perspective on what's really going on.
Amen.
It's not them. Yes, maybe they've sinned. Yes, they may have made some bad choices that incite the fire inside you. But that's their problem. That's the problem between them and God.
Yeah.
Now, how you react to that or respond to that is on you.
Mm.
The problem is the well.
Amen.
Not the faucet. Look in verse 17 of this same chapter. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. Anger is simply the result of selfishness and pride and choosing. And I want to emphasize the word choosing, to not die to self. Which in turn is rejecting the work of the Holy Spirit in you.
Yeah.
We can go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We can read our Bible every day and still choose to not die to self.
Yeah.
And live our entire life fighting that same problem and consistently losing the battle, all because we choose not to die to self. James already said in this same chapter how wicked our tongue can be. It can't be tamed by man.
Right.
It can be tamed by the Holy Spirit.
Amen, amen.
That's what we learn right here in verse 17. But the wisdom from above.
Yeah.
In other words, when we allow the Holy Spirit to come in and do His work in us. By the way, He does that through these difficult circumstances. In other words, those idiot drivers on the road are there to help you and I to learn to die to self.
Amen.
Those irritating things that she does or that he does are done and are allowed because God's trying to help you and I learn to die to self.
Right.
So that when we die to self, we empty the pot so that then he can fill it with peaceableness.
Yeah.
Gentleness. Easy to be entreated. Full of mercy. The fruits of the Spirit. But he can't fill that pot until it's emptied. It's our job to empty it.
Right. Amen.
Not his.
That's good.
His job is to fill it. So when we consistently and repetitively deal with this anger thing, which we all do, by the way,
right,
at some level or another.
Yeah.
We can point at other people if we want to, but really, we have the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a faucet problem. It's a well problem.
Mm.
We've not chosen to die to self.
Mm.
That's our problem. So I want to challenge you tonight to consider spending more time in God's Word, looking up scriptures that pertain to our heart.
Mm-hmm.
Solomon said over and over in the book of Proverbs, "My son, give me thine heart."
Yeah.
Not your words, not your actions, but your heart. Because if I've got your heart, your words and your actions are going to be right.
Amen.
So find these verses in God's Word that pertain to our heart. That's what God wants,
yeah,
by the way.
Yes.
He wants our heart. He don't want the rituals of religion. He doesn't want good habit. He wants our heart. And when he has that, then he can produce in us and through us the right things.
Amen.
To say and do. So I challenge you to do that. Do your own Bible study. To look up some scriptures and passages that deal with our heart. That deal with our selfishness and our pride those things that we struggle saying no to, putting others ahead of ourselves, the things they want, the things they need, should have a higher priority than ours. But when ours has a higher priority, we will probably get angry and we don't get what we want. Look these verses up, study them out, write down what you think it means, and then just keep that paper out somewhere where you see it on a regular basis. Study it, memorize them, look at it, talk about it to other people. Meditate on it.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for the Bible help that you've given to us to help us to deal with our anger problem, which in reality is a heart problem. Father, help us to give our heart to you. Completely. I thank you for that, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, turn to 4.